Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Hello, The Well in Islington. It's great to be with you. My name is Ben Lindsay. I am CEO of a charity called Power to Fight. We empower communities to end youth violence. And I'm also author of a book called We Need to Talk About Race, Understanding the Black Experience in White Majority Churches. And it's a real privilege to be here with you today. I want to talk about hope, about choosing hope over everything else. We have been in unprecedented times, I think is probably an understatement, whether it's COVID-19, which has clearly impacted every fabric of life, every element of life, whether it's your health or maybe it's loved ones or friends that you've seen been impacted by COVID, whether it's a case of job losses, the way of life, everything that we've taken for granted, a lot of our freedoms have just kind of gone because of this incredibly hard time that we're in because of COVID. For others, it might have been the brutal murder of George Floyd, which shone a light on the systemic racism, which is not just in the US, but also here in the UK. And for many of us, that meant that 2020 was an emotional roller coaster, and our mental health was really punished because of the increased conversation and pressure about Black Lives Matter and racial justice and where does the church stand. And for many of us, we may have gained some allies and friends, but we might have lost some friends as well. It's been a really difficult year. So going into 2021, how are we to approach this as Christians? Well, straight up, I want to say we are to choose hope. I was fortunate enough a couple of years ago to be in a conversation with the Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said something which will always stay with me about as Christians, we're not actually meant to be optimistic, we're meant to be hopeful. There's a difference between optimism and being hopeful. Optimism is kind of a bit like we're not quite sure. We're going to try and be positive, but we're not quite sure how this is going to play out. But we're going to put on a brave face and we're going to be optimistic. We're hope as Christians. We're putting our hope into something which is strong. It's our foundation. It's Jesus Christ. And there's a difference. So I want to talk a little bit about that. What you would have just heard is some verses from the Old Testament from a book called 2 Chronicles 20 about a guy called Jehoshaphat, a king. And what I want to do is just unpack some of these verses to help us really go into 2021 with a hopeful mentality, a hopeful heart, a hopeful outlook on life, no matter what comes. So I'm just going to kind of unpack that. And for us to just really see where this is going to go, I want to suggest, I'm just going to give a little bit of background actually to why these verses. And for me personally, I stumbled on these verses accidentally, really. When I read them, I was like, oh my gosh, I think this is a really good mantra for the year, actually. So what we've got in chapter 19 of 2 Chronicles is King Jehoshaphat, who is king of Judah. He kind of makes a bit of a dodgy choice in terms of allies and friends and decides to kind of ally with Ahab, King Ahab, who is king of Israel. And Ahab really wants a war. I don't know if you have ever had any of those friends. You're probably all a lot holier than I am or I was. But there's always some friends when I used to go out who you'd be like, oh Lord, please don't let us get into any altercation with anybody, because this is the type of person who will really want to have a punch up. And I'm not that type of guy, but there's always one person in the group. Now, you're all probably too holy for that, but that was my experience. And this guy, Ahab, he wants a war. He wants to go to war against Ramoth Gilead. And he brings Jehoshaphat into the conversation. Now, Jehoshaphat's not convinced that this is necessarily a good idea, even though all these prophets are basically saying to Ahab, yeah, go for it. And Jehoshaphat's a bit like, well, is there anyone else other than all your mates who are saying this is a good thing to do? And Ahab's like, well, there is this one guy, this guy called Micaiah, and he is somebody who's a prophet, but he never says anything good about me. So Jehoshaphat's like, well, let's hear from this guy. And basically, he's kind of saying when Micaiah hears what's going on, he's kind of like, well, listen, if you go down this route, it's not going to end up, it's not going to end well. And it doesn't end well. They go into battle. Jehoshaphat goes into battle with Ahab, and as a result, Ahab dies. He gets killed. And God is actually angry at Jehoshaphat for like siding with these people who are not believers of him. It's a real problem. And as a result of that, what we find is that in chapter 20, we're in a situation where God is being really merciful, shows Jehoshaphat actually the error of his ways, but shows him love and mercy. And Jehoshaphat actually decides to appoint some really wise counsel as he moves forward. As we get into chapter 20, what then happens is that it says a great multitude is coming against you. Suddenly, it's almost like it's open season on Jehoshaphat. The Moabites and the Ammonites are coming for him. It's an absolute nightmare. So what you've now got is this guy who's everybody wants to war against him as king of Judah. And what I find interesting is that I want to just link it to what's going on now. For some of us, there might well be a great multitude coming against you. I don't know your situations. Unfortunately, God does. But maybe the multitude against you is, look, disease, COVID, job loss, homeschooling. Listen, I know what it's like to home. I've got 3 children. Homeschooling is not easy. Whatever the multitudes are going against you, God has got something to say. And he says something, says a lot to Jehoshaphat as he's about to be set upon by various people who wants the war. So I just want to break this down. I'm going to go through 6 things. This is very clear. There's 6 things here which help us to choose hope when the multitudes come against us, whatever that might be for you. And before I get into this, I just want to pray quickly, and then we'll get into it. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to speak to Trinity Church, to speak to the world in Islington about choosing hope. And I pray as we unpack these verses in 2 Chronicles, we feel your encouragement, we feel your support, we feel your love, we feel your confidence, no matter what we're going through. In your mighty name, amen. So, 6 ways to choose hope from these verses. So, number one, when we're choosing hope, when we're deciding to choose hope, are we reminding ourselves of the blessings that God has already done in our lives? I have to do this because there's times when I'm thinking, oh my goodness, the multitudes are coming against me. There's lots of stuff happening. Lord, where are you? And I can easily forget all the amazing blessings that God has done in my life. And it's almost like we have to train ourselves to remind us of the blessings that God has done as a way of thinking, oh, do you know what? He has always been faithful and he will see us through. It says in verse 7 in chapter 20 in 2 Chronicles, did you not our God drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? They're reminding themselves of the blessings that God has had on his people, and we are called to do the same. So my encouragement here is, like, before we start getting into our negative mindset, pessimistic mindset, we choose hope automatically by saying, Lord, thank you. I'm thanking you for the times that you have blessed me in different situations. I'm reminding you of your promises to me. So that's number one. Choose hope. Remind yourself of his blessings. Number two, how do we choose hope in when the multitudes are coming against us? We are to cry out to the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 9, it says this: if disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. And then it says this, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. Brothers and sisters, we are to cry out to the Lord. There's no shame in crying out on our knees and saying, Lord, I need you to help me in this situation. I need you to help me with my job. I need you to help me with my health. I need you to help me with my children. I need you to help me in my school or my college or university at this time. I need you to help me. I'm crying out to you. God wants us to cry out to him. And the danger is that we cry out to other things. It's not a problem talking to your friends. It's not a problem seeking advice from different things and different people. But primarily as Christians, we are to get on our knees and cry out to him. And this is what we kind of see here with these verses, which Jehoshaphat is encouraging us to do. So that's number two. Number three, how do we choose hope? Well, we are to choose hope by taking the right counsel, encouragement, and wisdom. Going back to chapter 19. When Jehoshaphat decided to partner up with Ahab, he didn't really take the right counsel. There was one prophet who said, no, I don't think this is a good idea, but he still sided with Ahab. I think it's really difficult in these times to get the right counsel. It says in these verses, chapter 20, 14 to 15, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asper, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So what am I saying here? I think in this time, for me personally, it has been so helpful to have wisdom from other people. And now I get that in multiple ways. One of the things is running a charity. I've got a board of trustees, and these guys are great, and they're from different backgrounds. I've got a massive advisory group. If you go on our website, you can see all this type of stuff. But I've always made it a real high priority for me to gain wisdom from different people from different generations. So I've got people in their 40s, in their 50s, in their 60s, in their 70s, who I will go to for inspiration. I also talk to young people for wisdom as well. I just surround myself with different types of people, godly people, different paths in their lives, areas in their lives, different stages of their life. The question I have for you, are we doing the same? Are we getting the right counsel? Or do we just get our counsel from Twitter, Instagram, you know, Facebook, all these like social media channels, TikTok, whatever it is. Now, I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm not one of these people saying, stay off these things. They're from the devil. I'm not saying anything like that. But what I am saying is this. Are we getting the right counsel? We can see in these verses the difference between good counsel and bad counsel. And that is this one way of choosing hope, knowing that we are seeking good counsel, wise counsel. We'll run into people who love the Lord, who is for us, who is in your life, who you can be accountable to. That's the key word. Who can you be accountable to? Number four, how do we always choose hope when the multitudes are coming against us? Well, we are to stand firm in our belief in Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 20:17 says this, you will not need to fight this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. When I started looking at these verses, this verse in 17 just stood out. You will not need to fight this battle. Now, for me personally, it's been times when I felt, gosh, you write a book about race, for example, and it's like, God, am I trying to fight this battle against, for racial justice? And I just felt God take that burden off me. It's like, no, that's not your battle. You're a vessel of mine, and I'm going to use you to shine a light on some of this stuff, but the battle is not yours. You're not here to fight the battle of racism, something which has been going on for centuries. You're not here to fight the battle of COVID. That's a spiritual dynamic, something which God is dealing with. He will give you enough for the battle which is in front of you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not meant to engage with justice issues or the wider macro picture of things. But I think sometimes we can take on the burdens of things, and God is just saying, listen, that is not your battle. I'm here. You will not need to fight this battle. But when you are in it, I will be with you. And I think it's really important. That's one way I'm choosing hope this year. I'm basically going to make sure that I know that some of these bigger things which can put a burden on my shoulders, it's not my battle. It's God's battle. And we know the end of the story as well, don't we? We know that God has won the war, not just the battle. So that's number four. Number five, we're almost done. How do we always choose hope? Well, we are to worship, give praise, and proclaim his name to others. In verses 18 to 20, we see this example that in the midst of the multitudes coming against Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat, what we actually see is a desire and a decision to worship. It says this, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, do we still get on our knees? Do we still raise our hands? Do we still celebrate him? That is one way of us always choosing hope. No matter what's going on, we're still going to celebrate our God, our Lord. And then it goes on also, and this is, I suppose, a bit of an evangelistic provocation, that even in the middle of what's going on, are you still proclaiming his name? Are you still talking to your friends and your families and your neighbours about Jesus? If they stood up in a praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. And it says in verse 20, and they rose early in the morning, they went out into the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, he said this out loud, hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established, believe his prophets and you will succeed. So he is proclaiming the name of Jesus, or the name of God, his Lord. No matter what is going on, he's still saying, do you know what, I'm going to proclaim and let the world know that you are king. Do we do that? Do we honor Jesus even in the hard times? Are we still prepared to share his name and his glory and his grace and his mercy to people around us? Are we still sharing our testimonies to people even in this hard time? We choose hope by being hope givers. We hold on to something which the world needs to see, as we are his ambassadors. It goes on to say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. This is what Jehoshaphat is holding on to. And then finally, the sixth thing, and this is probably for me one of the most important things, is how do we choose hope? We are to rest in him. We are to rest in him. Interestingly, we've got some incredible coaches who are really hot on marketing and business, and they've done some incredible stuff with some of the biggest organizations and companies across the world, and they're giving us their time for free. And one of the things they said to me at the start of the year is that every year their team chooses a word for the year to keep them going and to go back to. And you can imagine, with the marketing types of people out there and the business types, it's words like lead and team and all this type of stuff. So they said to me, what do you think your word would be? And I had a think about it, and I realized that the word for me was rest. Something I think we can keep ourselves busy, I think we can lead, I think we're in teams, I think that type of stuff for me anyway is quite easy and quite natural. What isn't easy is how I rest. So when I read these verses, and it said these following verses from verse 29, for me is so important for us all. And it says this, and the fear of God came on all the kingdom of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And this is really important. So you've got to understand, everybody's coming at Jehoshaphat right now. People want a war against him. And then it says this. This is what God did. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest all round. Brothers and sisters, God will give you rest. He will give you peace in the midst of the battle. I think it's Psalm 46 where it talks about be still, even though all of everything crazy, all the circumstances that's going around you, be still. Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest all round. That's my prayer. That's what we are to do. We are to look to Jesus. We are to ask for his peace, and we're asking for him to give us rest all round, even though the multitudes are coming against us. There's lots of things happening around us in our communities, personally. But can we be restful and still in the storm and have that firm foundation in him? So those are those six things. I'll just quickly go back over them. Choosing hope by reminding ourselves that God and his blessings in our past. Number two, to cry out to the Lord at all times. Number three, to take the right counsel and encouragement and wisdom. Number four, to stand firm in the midst of trouble, remembering his words, his promises. Number five, to always worship and give praise and proclaim his name to others no matter what. And then number six, to rest in him. I suppose if there is an overarching kind of like an overarching theme across what I've just said there, it's the word trust. We are to trust Christ in this ever-changing world. Our circumstances are moving daily by things that we do not control. But we have to understand that God's love and grace towards us remains consistent. Amen? I can't hear you, but I'm hoping that you're doing the Pentecostal thing and saying amen. And I just want to finish with this. My mum, who is a devout Christian, and is one of these people where I can't have a phone call without her giving me a sermon, which is interesting, and I will miss dearly when she eventually goes to the Lord. And she on New Year's Day sent me a Charles Spurgeon sermon called Good Cheer for the New Year. And it was a sermon he did on January the 6th, 1867. And it was from, he took one verse from Deuteronomy 11:12, and this is what he says. And I want to read this to you, this paragraph, because I want us to remember our foundation and what God thinks of us. No matter what's going on around us, this is what God thinks of us. I just want to read this very quickly. This is what he says. If you put these things together, intense affection, personal interest, and unwearied power, and then if you remember that all this time God's heart is actuated by unchanging purposes of grace towards you, surely there will be enough to make you lose yourself in wonder, love, and praise. You have sinned in the past of your history, but your sin has never made him love you less, because he never looked upon you as you are personally considered, nakedly and abstractly in yourself. But he saw you loved. He saw you and loved you in Christ in the eternal purpose, even when you were dead in your trespasses and sins. And he has seen you in Christ ever since and has never, never ceased to love you. Beloved, I would like to you to understand that he has not given up on you. Even though the world is in a crazy space right now, he loves you, he desires you, he thinks the absolute best of you because he sees Jesus Christ in you, his son. And we are to stand firm in his promises and his beliefs no matter what is going on. Choose hope. Don't choose optimism. Don't be pessimistic. Choose hope in everything that you do. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time. I pray that you help us to choose hope in all that we do, that we focus on you. I pray for a blessing on the people listening to this talk right now, this sermon right now. Let us choose hope. Let us focus on the hope of your amazing grace, your love and mercy in our lives. In your mighty name, amen.